2540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. Devastated by wind-driven wildfires that have killed more than 50 people, just about destroyed a historic city in West Maui, Hawaiian officials offered this update.
What we saw was the utter devastation of Lahaina. We walked from end to end today as a team. What we saw was likely the largest natural disaster in Hawaii state history.
That is Hawaii's Governor Josh Green. This is Maui County Police Chief John Pelletier.
We don't know how many people we have dead. When this is all said and done, we just don't know.
Their latest estimate is 53. CBS News correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti is on Maui.
People getting in helicopters used for tours to bring food into places and to get evacuees out. The military is also on the scene, assisting with the search and rescue on the ground. Sources tell us that there are hundreds of homes and all of the wreckage that has yet to be sifted through. So it really is a race against the clock.
Five Americans of Iranian background who have been jailed there have now been transferred from prison to home arrest, part of a complex deal the U.S. is trying to work out for their release, Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
This is just the beginning of a process that I hope and expect will lead to their return home to the United States.
The deal being worked on would involve Iran gaining access to funds frozen by the U.S., but with limits on what they could be used for. The Centers for Disease Control reports something like a suicide epidemic.
The CDC estimates about 49,500 people took their lives last year. Available data suggests suicides are more common in the U.S. now than at any time since 1941. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention says a main driver of the increase is the growing availability of guns. Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
A 17-year-old has been indicted on a hate crime murder charge in the fatal New York City stabbing of dancer O'Shea Sibley. CBS's Michael George reports.
Last month, authorities say the 17-year-old hurled homophobic slurs towards Sibley and his friends when they stopped to get gas. The argument escalated, and Sibley was stabbed in the chest and later died.
Safety regulators are investigating a fatal Virginia crash involving a Tesla Model Y that collided with a semi-truck. Auto reporter Jeff Gilbert.
There was no sign that either the driver or the vehicle automation system recognized the truck before the collision. This is one of 23 fatalities that have in one way or another been connected to Tesla's driver assistance systems.
This is California regulators vote to allow two rival robo-taxi services to operate throughout San Francisco at all hours despite some local opposition. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
A perfect day starts with perfect breakfast. Start your day with Brunch It Up. Our experts are serving up the ultimate brunch experience. Our menu is loaded with inventive dishes from chicken and waffles to cinnamon roll pancakes. Try unique cocktails like Brunch Bloody Mary with house-infused vodka. Come brunch it up over bottomless mimosas or a midday pick-me-up. Or with the whole family for an unforgettable Sunday brunch. Brunch It Up in Milwaukee, Brookfield, or Cedarburg from 7 to 3 on weekdays and 8 to 3 on weekends. Let's brunch it up.
It's so hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that.
Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Zombers, one of the best opens this show has ever had. Great to have Pat Gritlow along. It does feel a little bit more like a high school. They had the great South Milwaukee high school pep band out here earlier, Pat, doing a great job.
It had a very halftime vibe to it, and now we're, you know, competing with a speaker in the cafeteria. So it really is like the whole school's come to life again.
Really is. We are here, as we kind of tone it down a little bit for the speaker to our left, but we are here for the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summer Conference, and educators, administrators from all over the state have gathered here today to hear speakers, kind of a convocation, if you will, learn about education, and see the big theme, Pat, at this event is about accountability, but also action.
It is about action, especially when they know that for decades now, they've been fighting against a school funding system that has been increasingly politicized. We're working off a formula that is literally from 30 years ago, 1993. And all it serves to do now, compared to 30 years ago when it was to rein in, you know, exploding property taxes, is now all about punishing public schools. I just came out of the first breakaway session where they explain school funding to new school board members.
Yeah.
And I almost saw people weeping as they learn about negative tertiary districts and all of the other complexities that are just another way of saying there are people in positions of power in the state that do not want to support our children the way that they were supported by the generation prior.
We're going to set the table for you in just a minute. Again, the Wisconsin Public Education Network, correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, but it's a 501c3. This is not the teachers union. It's not the school board association.
Right.
This is a private, not-for-profit association that is a network that's trying to simply bring light to the problems of public education and then try to advocate how we fix them.
This is what you want. This is the special interest group you want to see.
Right.
People who are passionate about something and are willing to gather together on their own to advocate, in this case, for public schools. This is not, you know, WMC. This is not a state political party. These are people who are active or retired educators, school board members, others who simply see that this is the right thing to do if you want to grow our economy and grow Wisconsin's future by making sure our public schools are in good hands, or hopefully someday in better hands.
Pat, before we continue on the event of the day here in South Milwaukee, some breaking news. Many people may have heard it at the top of the hour via either the CBS, ABC, or AP radio news, depending upon which civic media station you listen to. This from CBS's Scott McFarland at this hour. New court filings breaking at this hour. Special counsel Jack Smith now recommending December 11th of this year, 2023, for jury selection, and January 2nd of 2024 for a trial in Donald Trump's 2020 election conspiracy case.
Well, this isn't the deadline?
He's doing the right thing, knowing that former President Trump is going to try to delay as much as possible. So you'd better start with a very early target, because some delays are always inevitable. Others are going to try to be attempted, and so you don't lose anything by trying to schedule as soon as possible, because it's almost certainly going to slide.
A little bit of a delay, Mr. Zalmers. You have something to add? Go ahead. Pat can't hear you, so go ahead.
Just as Donald Trump and all his compatriots had to get in their coup before January 6th, that was the deadline for elections, right? So we gotta hurry this up, finish it before January 6th of this year.
Aaron, making the point that January 6th was the deadline to get the new president confirmed through the process and the Electoral College. And maybe Jack Smith has a little irony there. I don't think it's intentional, but it is a bit ironic.
I'm all for irony, however accidental it might be, because if it helps remind people of what happened, at that point we'll be 3 years on almost to the day. That's fair, because this was a terrible, tragic day in our nation's history. Let's have that accountability.
According to Scott McFarland at CBS News at this hour, if Jack Smith's proposed date is accepted by Judge Tanya Chutkan in Washington, D.C., the trial would be on the opening days on January 6th, 2024, the three-year mark to the day of the Capitol attack. Jack Smith argues his proposed timing would, quote, provide roughly 5 months before the start of trial for the defense to review discovery, which, as described in the proceedings, the government expects to subsequently complete the advance of the court's hearing on August 28th. I mean, that's coming up.
Yes, it is. Like I said, it's optimistic, but that's the place where you start, and you keep the pressure on, because while the wheels of justice also often turn slowly, they turn steadily, and let's keep that up.
Right. I think it's a great thing. We appreciate the update there from CBS News. We'll keep you abreast if anything else happens. But we're going to talk public education with our friend Pat Kreitel and others. We are on location at South Milwaukee High School at the Public Education Network Conference. Back and forth for this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 62 overnight under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the southeast around 5 miles an hour. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 83. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 62. Partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 64 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
We're going through wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Follow Ball Show across the Civic Media Radio Network. Always fun to hang out with our friend and colleague, Mr. Pat Quitelow, the host of Up North News on the Up North News Network Radio and across Civic Media as well. And you can catch him every morning from 6 until 8 from Lake Wissota to South Milwaukee.
I was going to say, so we're pursuing truth all the way to South Milwaukee. Yes. A long way from Lake Wissota, but this is where folks are gathering. And a lot of people from up north are up here as well. This summer session is a great opportunity for people to gather right before the launch of the school year and talk about relevant issues. And we'll talk about the ones that are rather, you know, touch on politics by and large. But you see just a lot of other networking and idea sharing before the next school year begins.
Absolutely. And again, apologize to those who are listening and watching this stream as well. Voice still not quite back, Pat. I've been fighting this group or whatever. It's not COVID. I keep testing. It's not that. And so I apologize to our listeners because I sound like crap. Yeah,
well, that was me for the 2 weeks prior. So you definitely have my sympathy, and all you can do is kind of fight through it. And we'll try to get some guests on here with you to take a little of the pressure off.
We appreciate that. If you'd like to join the conversation, we invite you as well. Give us a call on the line, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Also, you can get us at the Civic Media app. There is a little button there to text us or to call as well, either on your Android or Apple device. Again, on location here in South Milwaukee at the Wisconsin Public Education Network Conference. Go to the text line right now, WMDX back in Madison. We were talking earlier about the fact that Jack Smith and this Trump trial is looking at a speedy calendar. One of our listeners up there in Madison says, quote, "There is no such thing as a right to a slow trial."
Exactly. Right. If you're a defendant like Donald Trump, you should want a speedy trial because you say you're not guilty and you want to have your name cleared as soon as possible.
Yep.
So that is what you should do. But that has never been what Donald Trump has done in the many lawsuits and other court cases that he's been involved in.
Invite your calls on the current topic, public education in Wisconsin. Again, this is not the teachers union that we're at. It is not the School Board Association, as Pat said, not WMC, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. This is a 501c3 independent group whose mission is really to bring awareness and advocacy on behalf of public education across the state here in South Milwaukee.
And so when I got here after the drive from Madison, I come walking into the theater here at South Milwaukee High School. And who do I see but Todd Alba up on stage making remarks. Apparently you've got some kind of family tie to education. You've never mentioned that previously.
Really?
This was new to me. No, that's sarcasm.
Oh.
Todd.
There's a reason, my head's foggy.
A reason they asked you up on stage is to talk about the importance of education to your family and to your life. And I thought you gave some very heartfelt remarks.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. It was a little rush because we were behind time, so we didn't really do the thing we were going to do. But yeah, my maternal grandmother, Marge Wallace, who passed away about 6 years ago, she was the first woman to serve as a dean of a UW campus at UW Richland. My sister and brother-in-law are still teachers of the Eau Claire School District, which we have people here from Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley area. And my dad, my stepmom, and my mother all retired teachers as well. So public education, that's something near and dear to my heart. I know when you were in the state senate, you worked and were an advocate for public education yourself.
And tried to work in the existing formula as Byzantine as it is by doing things like looking for, you know, poverty aid or scarcity, sparsity aid, and all these other ways to you know, gin up the formula. And again, coming back to that session that reviewed it today, I mean, it was just a masterclass put on by Tom McCarthy, who's the executive director for the Department of Public Instruction here for the state of Wisconsin. And through all manner of charts and graphs, you know, helped explain the history of how we pay for schools. But it just kept bringing me back to when I was running for legislature originally in 2006 and saying, in all sincerity, why are we doing it this way? Yeah. Why are we putting so much on the property tax to begin with, which right away is going to lead to inequities all across the state? It's going to pit communities against one another. And then you add in all of these other factors where what started as a simple, as Tom McCarthy explained it, you know, A minus B equals C equation of how you get funded. You can fit that on a, on your, you can write that on your hand, right. A minus B equals C. But by the time you add in all the other things with categorical aids and federal aids, and you account for mobility and declining enrollment and free lunch and technology and disabilities, it now looks like, for anybody who's seen Oppenheimer, looks like one of those Einstein-esque calculations that's written on a chalkboard as big as a billboard.
Yeah.
And we've got to find a better way to do that here.
And too often, people in Madison and in Washington, but in Madison in particular, like to have slogans, like to have things that kind of catch on. Oh, we're going to lower your property taxes or whatever. But they don't do what Pat just did, what this conference is doing, which is breaking it down. And each of us in our communities end up paying for it. And the local school boards are the ones that have to raise taxes because the legislature isn't doing their job in Madison. And Pat, what's the number now? What we have, $4 billion surplus, more or less, in the kitty right now?
Right. And so if ever you were going to do a significant overhaul of the way that we pay for public education, you always need, you know, a little seed money to start things up, and then you'd run it based off of current year figures. But you first have to make up some of the deficits that are baked into the formula. And you would do that, but only if you had a really large surplus. Oh, wait, we've got that this year. And yet all Republicans wanted to do was just throw a few dollars in, throw a few more dollars to voucher schools, and use the rest for income tax cuts. Yeah. And you may be in favor of tax cuts, but you've squandered an immense opportunity to fix a formula that you should want, because whatever your party, Republican or Democrat, you should want the schools in your district to have stability, to have good teachers who stick around, who have equipment that and buildings that aren't falling apart. And yet, rather than do any of that, they've, in my mind, thrown away this opportunity. I don't have any illusions that it's going to be fixed in some kind of a fall session or a special session. So I'm really just left with saying, how could you let this slip through your fingers to really make substantive change, something you could have been proud of, a bipartisan package, and yet it didn't happen. So we're back here learning about these formulas and learning how we can, you know, goose them a little here and there to make things a bit less unfair, to put it mildly.
Are you satisfied with the way public education is being funded? Are you satisfied with the condition of Wisconsin's public education schools? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones. Jack up in Merrimack. Appreciate you hanging on, Jack. Jack, what say you?
Well, first of all, Act 10 has a great deal to do with what's happening to our schools. When I retired a few years ago, I was teaching science, and there were six of us in the science department, and we were each teaching five classes. The school district I retired from did not hire another science teacher. They just redistributed the classes so that now there were five teachers, each teaching six classes. And Act 10, because you can't negotiate conditions of employment, Act 10 allowed them to do this. That's the first thing I want to say. My son, who graduated just June from UW-Eau Claire, is not going to teach in Wisconsin. He's got a teaching certification, but he moved to Minneapolis. It just turns out that Minnesota has got a serious commitment to attracting new teachers. They have in the St. Paul Public Schools, and if you listen to, I think it's Native Roots, the program on this station, you've heard the ad. They're giving a $10,000 signing bonus for teachers in St. Paul. And the last thing I want to say is this. The legislature in their budget did not give anything to public schools. They gave, out of the $7-plus billion, they gave a $3,000 per student increase and welfare to private schools, they allowed, at their great generosity, for 2 years, and Evers actually extended that a bit, shall we say. But anyway, they allow school districts to increase their taxes to the point where they can get a $300 increase, if it's approved, of course, in referendum. So this is a you wonder Jack, why Republicans.
Right. No, I appreciate the call so much, Jack. Jack and Merrimack, thank you so much for calling. And if you'd like to be like Jack, give us a call, 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. I know, Pat, there's a little bit of a delay. You don't have a headset, but talking about the fact that Act 10 really did a number, pun intended, on this state. Jack, a former teacher, his son graduated from UW-Eau Claire, now going to Minnesota, because they're offering the signing bonus over there.
Right, because they're taking public education seriously. They're making the investments in it. They understand that from state to state, we're competing for the people who are in jobs now and the people who will be in jobs in the future. And we know that what Wisconsin's legacy is around Act 10, which, again, looking at the graphs and numbers this morning, you saw that it really wasn't any kind of a reform, as Scott Walker said it was at the time. It was completely designed to not just break the union, but to have a massive reduction in the cost of labor.
Yep.
And that's all it was. There was no commensurate slashing of property taxes that went along with it. That's not what it was ever designed to do. It was designed to bring down costs, no different than any other company breaking the union, bringing down employee pay, and then they wonder why they can't keep and get good new employees.
As someone who was in the building, the Capitol at the time in 2011, and saw some of this stuff going on, it's appalling, because my former boss, Dale Schultz, said, you know, Act 10, we're creating a two-tier education system in this state, and we're seeing it play out now. We're going to prepare here just I guess about two more minutes or so, Mr. Zomerich. We'll take a break then.
I think we should. I see Representative Christina Shelton, Representative Deb Andrakas here. Oh, okay.
Look at this. I mean, this is, I feel like, again, we're at a, look at this, live streaming. State Representative Christina Shelton. I've heard so much about you. We got to go to a break here in just a second, Representative. When we come back, we'll talk more about you. Met you earlier today, and it's great to have a youthful, smart person fighting for Wisconsin education.
You better with this crowd, yes.
Absolutely. We're going to come back and talk with her, more with our friend Pat Kreitlow as well. We are on location here at the beautiful South Milwaukee High School here for the Wisconsin Public Education Network Conference here in Milwaukee. And Mr. Zomers, everything sounding okay back there for you so far? All right, very good. So I wish you were here. There was great food, great drink.
Oh, I wish I was there too.
And a band to boot.
It sounds like it'd be a lot of fun. You'd learn a lot, meet a lot of cool people, but someone's got to stay here and hold down the fort.
It was a whole brass section that was up here.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was like being at Pep Band all over again.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break, as we said. Come back and talk with more here with the representative, more education, and more of your calls, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can also text us on the app, but if you don't have it, the only better day to download the Civic Media app than today was yesterday. And you can't do anything about it. So do it today. Go to your Apple device or your Android device. Type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. Download it. It takes less than a minute. It is free. It's what Gail King calls a deal. And you can take Mr. Kreitlow with you in the morning, 6 to 8 on Up North News, or Mr. Zomers and I, 1 to 3 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. More with Public Education Network Conference here in South Milwaukee, live on location. This is the Pat Almost Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News special report. As the search and occasional rescue go on in western Maui, officials keep on raising the number of people believed dead in the wildfires there and the numbers missing. Maui County Police Chief John Pelletier.
A very fluid number, but let's say there's a 1,000 missing people. Doesn't mean that's how many that we have that have passed. I'm not saying that number at all.
What the officials do say is at least 55 people are known dead, and there is enormous damage to a historic city, a favorite of tourists to Maui, Hawaii Governor Josh Green.
We also have seen many hundreds of homes destroyed. and that's going to take a great deal of time to recover from.
Maui County Fire Chief Brad Ventura adds,
it's still very, very hazardous in the burn areas. Things are falling every minute around us, and there have been some people that have been hurt by just falling telephone poles and such. So we need to make sure the area is safe before anybody can return to that space.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Tom Foti.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep-fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, the Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. We are live on location here at South Milwaukee High School at the Wisconsin Publication Education Network Conference. If Todd could say the name, that'd be great. Representative has stepped out graciously for a second to make room for another guest. We are blessed. Mr. Kreitlow, Pat Kreitlow from Up North News, joins me as well. Dr. Jill Underley, she is the State Superintendent of Public Schools. You've been on with us via Zoom. It's nice to have you here in person. Thanks for making time for us.
To be here.
And I was bragging up earlier, you know, your executive director here, Tom McCarthy, trying to explain the school funding system for like new school board members and others. You've got quite a team.
Oh, he's wonderful. They're brilliant. I mean, as far as being able to explain it, just the common, you know, just plain language, I couldn't do that job.
When you start something like this, which obviously these are all public education advocates. So what were the themes of your general remarks to kind of encourage them, given what the political environment is like out there in the wide world?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about divided government, right? You don't always get what you want. And sometimes what's negotiated behind the scenes is not something that you're really excited about negotiating about. So it's about, my message was really about hope and optimism. And at the end of the day, public schools will prevail. I mean, they are here for a reason. They're the foundation of our democracy, that they serve all kids. And at the end of the day, I truly believe, you know, the public will come around and realize that Wisconsin can't afford two systems of schools, and public schools will prevail.
Dr. Underly, as you travel around the state as state school superintendent, you have your school boards that do a lot of work that people don't recognize, our educators, our teacher, the classroom, but it's also about community. I used the example earlier, Ithaca School, a little tiny school district from where I'm from, won a state championship.
Against Pecatonica, which is
Oh my gosh, was that your alma mater? Oh my gosh. Yeah, right. I apologize to the fine folks in Pecatonica.
No, it's remarkable, these two tiny communities, right? Yeah.
I mean, you know what it's about, being from a small place. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's everything to that community. And you see this, I guess I'm looking for commonality. There's things that divide us, but the commonality of our schools, our communities.
100%. I mean, we all want the same things. And you talk to any school board member throughout the state, especially in the small towns or even the large towns. I mean, you look at it, we all want the same things. We want good schools for our kids. We want wonderful, passionate, you know, wonderful people in front of our kids, you know, as teachers and staff. At the end of the day, we all want to prepare our kids for a future that we know doesn't exist yet. Like, we don't know what it's going to be. And so we want the best, right? And I think at the end of the day, Republican, Democrat, no matter what your political stripes are, and even in the communities, like, we want our kids to come out of our schools well prepared for a future.
If I can ask something that just came into the news out of the Appleton School District and the right-wing Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty threatening a lawsuit because the school district had the audacity to have a welcome, new school year specifically for, students of color. And that the letter from the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty called it something like blatantly racist. And I bring it up to you because you have been absolutely unapologetic in your remarks about making sure that school districts, well, hell, all of us embrace diversity, equity, inclusion, all of those things. So I don't know your comfort level on talking about the specifics in Appleton, but I know you haven't shied away from talking about making sure that people from vulnerable communities, feel excluded or feel included and not intimidated, as this letter from Will is designed to do.
Right. And I think that's, I think that's just the basis of it all, is that public schools are for everybody. Everybody needs to feel safe in their schools. And you look even outside of schools. I mean, so schools are very diverse. They're microcosms of our society. But once you leave school districts and you go into, private sector, workplaces, lots of places have mixers, they have organizations, or they have interest groups or whatever for populations of people, so that they can build that community. Because if you don't have that community, you don't feel like you belong anywhere. I'm a mainstream white female in public education. There's lots of me, represented everywhere. But if I was a person of color, for example, or an immigrant or something along those lines, I don't know if I would feel comfortable in school. And so you're going to want to seek out those people. And that's so true of students who are coming out of middle schools, going into a comprehensive high school. They want to find a place where they belong.
I'd like to turn to the budget for a second. Again, we're on location at the South Milwaukee High School, the Wisconsin Public Education Network Conference, along with Pat Kreitlow. Our guest is Dr. Jill Underly. She is the state superintendent of Wisconsin Public Schools. Dr. Underly, looking at the politics of this, there was a lot made about, shared revenue got increased for local municipalities. And a lot of places, I'm from Richland Center, Pat's from up in Chippewa Valley, those rural areas of the state applauded that. I think what got lost in the conversation was this was not a great budget in terms of public education. And that came out of the Republican-controlled legislature. The governor really didn't have a whole lot of choice, I don't think, of whether he could assign that or not.
He did either. I think he was really stuck between, he cares about so many things, right? He cares about kids. He cares about our rural communities. He cares about our major metropolitan areas. I mean, he's a good guy. And it's hard. Politics is just hard, because sometimes the things that are on the negotiation table are what they're fighting over or bargaining over. I mean, it was it was a no-win situation, I feel.
And the burden goes on the backs of local school boards then.
It does. So they're going to be charged now with raising taxes, which leaves, you know, puts or keeps legislators off the hook. I mean, it is a state responsibility to fund our public schools. And the way that, you know, the revenue and the funding goes, a lot of times it's split, you know, 50-50 in the community, depending on their property value, right? But now we're seeing that shift greater responsibility to local school boards. And we've seen that with referendum. You know, I've talked to superintendents. Sometimes these non-recurring referendum are a third of their operating budget. Wow. And now they have a bigger burden. And again, it just takes the local, or I should say, it takes the state leaders off the hook on that.
And when you are forced to rely on a referendum, and again, your executive director, Tom McCarthy, made this point. Somebody asked, you know, is there an analogy that you use? And he said, well, one that you could use is the having to get a second job or a third job. You know, if you're a married couple and what you're bringing in just isn't enough. You can only cut so much. And at that point, you have to take on another job. That's what a referendum is. And you have to ask taxpayers in your district, is that really what you want? Is that really the way you want to support your schools in your community? Or do you want your legislators to actually provide a raise for your base job to begin with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also think about it. It's like almost like taking out a second mortgage, mm-hmm. you know, or a third mortgage for a school district when they go into debt. On these kinds of things too. If it's a non-recurring referendum, it means that after X number of years, 5 years, let's say that if they 1.3 million or 600,000, whatever they do, that goes away unless another referendum passes. And in a lot of cases, they're failing now. I mean, our communities are strapped, our families are strapped, and we have a $7 billion surplus going into this last budget. There are certain things that I felt like were a no-brainer, like the special education increase. That impacts every school district. It would have made a huge difference right out of the gate. And again, that's a state responsibility.
And for folks that don't know, the special education reimbursement rate, the state reimburses districts for what is a very high expense, special education. What increase was there for public schools in this new agreement, and then compared to what it is for voucher schools?
Well, I don't know the percentages off the top of my head.
Something like it went from like 30 to 33%.
The special education increase was like 1.8%.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the private schools got more money on top. They took the average. Let's say the average amount that we spend per high school student in Wisconsin is $15,000. So that means that there's schools that are spending less than that. Mm-hmm. And then there are some schools that are spending more than that. But then they increased the voucher amount to the average. So there are certainly voucher schools that are going to be getting more per student than some high school students are in public schools.
We had a caller earlier, Dr. Underlieb, who was talking about Act 10. And I happen to be in the building working for my former boss, the only Republican to vote against Act 10, Dale Schultz at the time. And at the time he said, you know, what we have done here is to create a two-tier education system, and we will see that. Sadly, it looks like that finally bearing out across the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, it is. I mean, so I was just thinking about, you know, some of the schools in Southwest Wisconsin where I'm from, they can't find a upper level math teacher or they can't find a chemistry teacher. What does it mean for those kids in those schools? That, you know, you've got schools in other parts of the state, maybe more affluent communities that can pay more, you know, for these individuals to teach. So those kids are going to be fine. They're going to go into college or career or whatever prepared in areas that maybe are interesting to them. And then there's kids like in my district or in other areas in Southwest Wisconsin or rural northern Wisconsin who are not going to have upper level math. They're not going to have chemistry, or they're not going to have an English teacher. And so what does that mean for their future?
Yeah.
And that's where it's like we have these two tiers. We have also a system that accepts everybody. When you think about students with disabilities and you think about gender and parents and families, they're accepting, they're inclusive. And then you have another system that is also taxpayer funded that doesn't. And that's not okay. And we have to have a reckoning, I think, about that.
So what can be done, and this was asked this morning as well, what can be done to increase that transparency? Is it on DPI? Is it on local school districts to use already precious resources to let the community know that, you know, this line you see on your property tax bill for, say, the Chippewa Falls School District, that's not all going to Chippewa Falls Public Schools. But is that where the public education network here comes in? Who helps the taxpayer really understand that there's much more to the pie than what they think is going to public schools?
Yeah, I think it's on all of us. I think it's on the voters. I think it's on, you know, people in the media. I think it's people asking questions. It's asking the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. I mean, there's a lot of ways I think we can get there, but I know that they've, you know, introduced bills, assuming it's been the Democrats, to be honest, to put on our property taxes, how much it's going to voucher and choice. And that keeps getting, you know, struck from, you know, they don't even see the light of day. So it's kind of like we should demand transparency as voters.
What's your message to groups like this, the Wisconsin Public Education Network, as you travel throughout the state, Dr. Underley? What's the message of hope here that people, if they're in a local community listening to us across Wisconsin right now, what's the best thing people can do in their community to be supportive of public education?
Yeah, just keep advocating for your public schools. I mean, they are the heart and soul of our communities. They take all the kids in your communities. They're the future of, you know, our communities. When you think about what, you know, these students learn and then they graduate and a lot of them come back to, you know, their communities and live there. Support the schools, be informed, go to school board meetings, you know what's on the agendas, advocate for the employees, you know, if, you know, when you're looking at cost of living raises, but also just know what, you know, talk to your neighbors. Yeah. You know, that's fair, I suppose.
And go out to our local baseball games.
Right.
And
absolutely.
Support the kids, yeah, and the teachers and the coaches.
Yeah, go Pecatonica.
You'll get us next time. Pat, anything else?
No, I think that, again, this is the time that people need to be reminded that, you know, we hear about, you know, parents' rights and choices. Like, you have those. Get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your school board members are people in your community. Right. Lots of school board members have kids in schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really do. Great folks.
Yeah, and there's groups, parent-teacher organizations, you know, or just, you know, volunteer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Dr. Underley, we really appreciate you. Dr. Jill Underley, she is the state school superintendent, doing a great job for us. And I love the fact that you travel all over the state and get out and meet folks, because that's the best place to do it, right?
I love my job. I'm really fortunate. So thank
so
you.
So are we. Thank you, Dr. Absolutely. Underley.
Thank you very much. Dr. Jill Underley, she has joined us here and on location from the South Milwaukee Public School, the high school, that is, Wisconsin Public Education Network, along with Pat Kreitler here. What do you think, Pat? It's a great facility, as you said.
It's a wonderful facility, fantastic people, great hosts. Right. And, you know, now as I start to work my way back to Chippewa Falls, I'm going to leave you in the capable hands now of Representative Christina Shelton, who's not only going to talk about budget matters, but also the need to continue to support school meals and keep our kids nourished, you know, in the morning and the afternoon. It's that vital, and she's a real hero for that.
She really is. Look forward to talking more about that. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us. This is the Town Hall Wall Show on location in South Milwaukee High School. And this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, May Dawn, Big Newton lover. of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 62 overnight under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the southeast around 5 miles an hour. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 83. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 62, partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 64 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Cotton Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location, South Milwaukee High School in South Milwaukee. We are at the Wisconsin Public Education Network. And again, apologize for my voice. It's not COVID. I've been testing, but it's this goofy, cold laryngitis stuff. Mr. Kreitler, we thank him. You can listen to him every morning on Up North News from 6 until 8. He's making his way back to Lake Wissota. But right now, we are absolutely thrilled to welcome in State Representative Christina Shelton. She represents the 90th Assembly District around most of the city of Green Bay. She first was elected in 2020. Representative Shelton, thank you so very much for making time for us.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it was absolutely our pleasure. For folks, because we do go across the state on 18 different stations, for people that might not be aware of you, tell us a little bit about yourself. What inspired you to get into the legislature?
Yeah, so I'm a teacher by trade. Really? I taught kindergarten through 12th grade, health and physical education, and some higher ed as well. And I've got two kids in the Green Bay School District, so my heart has always been in public ed. I was elected and served on the Green Bay School Board back in 2018 and through 2020, and then decided to run for state assembly and continue the fight for public education there. And now I serve as the ranking member on the Assembly Committee on Ed. And today is a great day. We're here at the summit with other public school champions, and it's just great to come together and talk about it.
My mom was a kindergarten teacher for 26, 27 years.
Love
so,
it.
Yeah, absolutely. Kindergarten teachers are the best. One of the things, Representative Shelton, that you're really passionate about is healthy school meals for all. Tell folks what that is about and how you've been involved.
Yeah, so we are here today. We have a table here. We're giving out information, free t-shirts, talking about healthy school meals for all. This is a bill that we introduced with Representative Francesca Hong and Senator Larson, Senator Agard. And this bill would essentially ensure free breakfast and free lunch for every Wisconsin kid every single day. It would wipe out school meal shaming, school meal debt. It would invest in the school meal system, and also help to increase the pay for food service workers, which are some of the lowest paid workers in schools. And it also will help to improve school meals. So this was a bill that was, we built a coalition around it. We now have over 300 members on this coalition. The governor put that provision in his previous budget. Unfortunately, it was taken out by Republicans, but we're going to be reintroducing it in the fall, and the coalition is strong. There's going to be some really exciting updates coming out about the coalition in a couple months, but we are committed to making sure that every kid has a free breakfast every single day and lunch, and it's a great coalition.
It is a great coalition. I also think there's a lot of misinformation or lack of knowledge in this state. Like, unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that are like, well, every kid's getting breakfast in the morning. Right. That is not the case. And this is not, I want to make this clear, this is not an urban problem here in Milwaukee or in Madison. I'll tell you, back at Richland Center, at the Richland School District, there are families that are taking advantage of free lunches because there is a hunger desert in many of these rural parts of the state.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is an urban issue, rural, suburban. This is an every Wisconsin family issue. You know, this started back during the COVID pandemic when we had waivers from the USDA that allowed schools the money to do free breakfast and free lunch. So that was something that we were told for years prior to COVID that we couldn't just do. We couldn't just feed all kids. And then we did it.
Yeah.
And the benefits of that were seen rapidly. I mean, the research showed what was going to happen and that happened. And so we have the receipts for that. And there are so many kids that fall through the cracks. I mean, whether it's because they're not filling out those free and reduced meal forms, maybe they don't qualify for free and reduced. You know, there's families that are working that, you know, food is expensive these days. We've estimated that for an average family of four with two kids going to school, eating breakfast and lunch every day under the paid system, this would save them about $150 a month.
Wow.
That they're paying.
That's a lot. That's a light bill for some people. Electricity bill.
I know. Yeah. I mean, my daughter goes to high school at East High School. Shout out to East High School and Green Bay Public Schools.
Absolutely.
And I swear every 2 weeks I'm putting $100 on her meal card, and I'm happy to do it. But that would be a savings for families if we could get this bill done.
Are there private partners in this program? Are there grocery stores? Are there people that are actually giving either money or food to these programs across the state?
Well, look, I think, you know,
we should have legislation, right? But are there people out there helping?
Absolutely. There's so many people that are working. And I think what makes it complicated is a complicated system of like federal regulation, state, right? And then local. I mean, we have to follow USDA guidelines. I think the thing that's the best about this coalition is it is such a broad coalition of multiple stakeholders from across the state that have come together. We've got social workers. We've got farmers and growers, the farmers union, the teachers union, counselors and therapists, just people who understand this complex issue, but see it maybe from a different lens, but still are committed to making it happen. So there's so many people that have been working on this, and there's other states that have recently passed it, and we've got our eye on the prize to get it done.
If you don't mind, as long as we have you here, we got about 3 minutes left. State Representative Christina Shelton for the Green Bay area for the 90th Assembly District. A lot of folks are talking about this special session that the governor called to try to get more money for childcare. This is also a huge problem for Wisconsin families. Now, there's people are going to say, why do this? You know, Republicans are just going to gavel in, gavel out. From a Democratic perspective, why go through this and make sure to hold people accountable?
Well, listen, it's our job in government to address market failures, right? And to ensure that people have what they need to be able to participate in the workforce, to access economic security, to support working families and kids and moms and dads. And childcare is a central issue. And it's not, you know, just an issue of affordability. It's an issue of accessibility. And the market is at a point of absolute crisis. Yeah. And it's our job at this point to look at what government can do in service of others and for common good. And we have demonstrated through the Child Care Counts program that there is a way that we can smartly invest in these programs that makes a significant difference, not only for the providers, but those looking for providers. I'm really excited that the governor called the special session. We've got the money to do it. We still have a budget surplus.
$4 billion.
And this will help working families every single day. And if they can't get to work, then that is an issue, especially with our workforce numbers being so tight.
I'm not a professional at this, but when we have women putting their name on a list before they get pregnant for childcare, that's a problem.
I've heard people say that they've been on a list for a year before they've been pregnant. And women and dads leaving the workforce because they don't have access to childcare if they want to work. That is a crisis.
But 90 seconds left, Representative Shelton. As a former kindergarten teacher, what's a memory that comes to your mind about what's the best part of just being a teacher?
Oh, my favorite part of it being a teacher is the relationships with the kids. Yeah. I taught health and physical education. Getting to organize, you know, 40 kids in a gym in a badminton tournament where they're having a blast, getting exercise, learning, you know, those social skills, leadership, forgiveness.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing to watch kids grow. Yeah. And I miss it so much. I miss the smell of the gymnasium. I miss my sneakers. I miss my whistle. I miss being able to yell, you know, in the gym. Right. And I miss coaching. I coached basketball too. And I just love working with kids. Mm. It's just so fun.
My former teacher, unfortunately, my kindergarten teacher has passed away since, but Karma Kennedy, I still remember her. She was fantastic. And you really do learn a lot about life in kindergarten. So appreciate all of your work at schools, but now you're doing a great job in the legislature. She is Christina Shelton from the 90th Assembly District Representative. Thank you so very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure. We'll be back live from South Milwaukee at the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Don't forget, Luke Batters is on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Town Hall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You are listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.